Yo, what's up? Welcome to Jumpmaster, the number one Apex Legends podcast brought to you by OKBeast.com. I'm your Jumpmaster, Blessing Adioye. Joining me this week are my squad mates. We got Alex Van Aken. What's up, Alex?
Nothing much. What is going on?
Man, not much. We also got John Bernardo. What's up, John?
Mozambique here.
Oh, man. I'll run away then. remember that Jumpmaster is a weekly Apex Legends podcast. Each episode, join us for the latest news, tips and tricks, and experiences relating to Respawn Entertainment's brand new Battle Royale game set in the Titanfall universe. This, of course, is episode 3. A few things for housekeeping before we get started. Like I say always, remember to rate us on iTunes. Every rating helps. This show is set for a 5-episode run, and your ratings will ensure that we can continue, possibly, if everything goes well, if you guys enjoy the show. If we enjoy doing the show, and if the game continues to stay good, we'll see what happens, you know? Five episodes could turn into 6, could turn into 30. OKBeast Podcast is every Monday. Make sure to check that out. On the side, we also have Freelancer's Guide, which is our Anthem podcast. We have much, much more content on OKBeast.com. So go there, check out all our podcasts, check out our articles, check out our videos. And you can, of course, check out patreon.com/OKBeast if you want to see what we have to offer there and support us monetarily. So, right. Let's get into it. Week 3 impressions. How are you guys feeling?
Very good.
It's not bad yet?
It is not bad yet, Blessing. Not at all.
Nice.
I've actually just hit level 50 in the game. So
jealous.
Yeah, I've been playing a lot.
Level 49. So
yeah, you're right behind me. I haven't played Pathfinder in like the last week. I've actually switched it up. I mentioned last week I was kind of doing like the whole Bangalore maining thing, and that has carried through this week. I've also started to play Bloodhound, really enjoying their abilities and their skill set. So super stoked on the game. I got to pick up the Havoc rifle, which is the new gun. I got to pick that up today and really impressed with it. Like I know I've played with a few people who are like, on it. But when you get that, so you can attach either the turbocharger or the select fire receiver. When you attach that select fire receiver and it becomes a beam rifle, you can do some pretty mean and gnarly things with that.
Interesting. I picked it up for the first time when I was playing yesterday, and I lost. like I got just like legit, it was like down to 2 squads left, and it was me versus one of the other squad members, and legit we got into a shootout one-on-one. I think we saw each other at the same time, and I missed every single shot with that thing in my hand. I didn't have the select fire, I was just working off the turbocharger. But yeah, I that's something I got to get used to. It's my first time in a while using a new gun that I hadn't held before.
That's an intense situation.
Yeah, it is.
So it's fun that you can kind of do the select fire or the turbocharger and kind of pick your style. I kind of dig that with the gun. It also gives more meaning to those attachments now, because before they were just for one gun each. So I'm stoked to see new guns come out and interact and interface with the existing accessories nicely and in fun ways. So I'm stoked on the game. Week 3.
John, how are you feeling? Week 3.
Still just like Alex, still pretty stoked. Haven't had as much time with it this week, but every time I play it, still having a blast. I have that rule, you know, once it stops being fun, you stop playing. But even in, I haven't won a game yet, and I'm still having fun. Me and you have had, a couple of days ago, we had a couple matches in a row. It was just nothing but losses, goose eggs across the board. And it's still frustrating, but you know, you don't feel put down. You just feel, you know what, this game is going to, tonight's not the night. We're going to come back again tomorrow. We're going to try it again. But you just feel determined.
That's my thing, though, is that like, and I feel like I need to encourage this more as I play with people that, like, you know, it's a battle royale, right? And so there are, what, 60 people joining this match.
Yeah.
And 57 of these people are going to lose, right? And so, like, every time we go in, chances are we're not about to win this battle royale.
Exactly.
And I feel like I got to do a better job of, like, you know, even like when my team gets a kill, or like when people, like, even if we kill one squad, right? Like, we just overcame some odds. Because like anytime, like me or our squad versus any other squad, right? That's like a half a chance that we're coming out of that situation. Mm-hmm. Right. And that, that kind of, it becomes exponential every time you find a new squad.
Yeah. Focus on the good plays you do. Not the
exactly. Like if my squad kills one of the team, for me, that's a good game right there. Like we played a great match.
We had those moments where we took out a whole squad, or we came up behind them when we flanked them. There was one point, even that last game, that me and you made it to the end. It was just me and you and our random was out. And we thought we had them cornered. we had a good hit on them, but
I was legit Galaxy Brain that match. Yeah, I posted a clip on Twitter for people who may or may not have seen it, where like the clip I posted was like from kind of early in the match, where like we kind of made it to a town and I was kind of trailing behind because the John and our Rando kind of ran ahead of me because I was taking forever because I was finding a lot of loot, and I was like, I gotta get this loot. And so you guys ran ahead of me, and then you guys got into an encounter. The Rando died, and then you got knocked. And then like I was still like, while all this happening, I'm still running toward the town. Yeah. And then
not a great sign.
I was like, oh no. And then all I hear is John being like, fuck. And then all of a sudden, then John's icon goes red, like when you see somebody get knocked down, and I was like, oh no. And then all of a sudden goes green, and I'm like, oh no. And so it's me versus like a whole other team, and I took the whole squad. Yeah, and I took the whole squad. And it was one of those things where like I say it was a Galaxy Raid moment, because like when I got there and I started shooting them, the whole time I was like, oh, I got this. And that's not like a thought I usually have when I'm facing like a whole squad. Usually I'm like, well, I'm gonna try my hardest not to die. But in that moment I was like, no, these mugs are dying. I can feel it. I can feel it in my veins. Took out the first guy, was able to like, even like you, like if you watch the clip, right? I'm even like talking, I'm talking to myself and John.
And your commentary is so perfect in that clip, because you're just like, I'm coming for you.
Yeah, I'm like, I want you. I need you. And I enter the building and I take the other guy out, and I essentially try to flank the guy from the other side of the building and end up taking him out. And it's such like a satisfying moment. And something that's like really only possible in this type of game, where it's like everybody kind of for themselves in squads. And like this is one of the reasons why I've kind of fallen in love with Battle Royale like since Fortnite, right? Is that feeling of being like having so many options and kind of being kind of having that exploratory feeling of like, oh man, there might be enemies here, but then also like being able to overcome the odds. All that stuff is great, all that stuff is fun, and I feel like Apex handles that stuff well because the gameplay is awesome. Gunplay is awesome, all that stuff. And so I've been enjoying week three. I'm still rocking Lifeline. And yeah, it's overall been a good experience. Let's get into Champions Chat, which is our topic of the show. Last week we went through the first half of the roster. And this week we're gonna go through the second half, kind of talk about each hero and what they do and kind of a little bit of their origin. I want to issue like a 2-second apology. Last week we talked about Bloodhound, and one, we gave praise for Respawn kind of including a non-binary character in the game, but then we continued to use he and him pronouns with Bloodhound, which is something that we kind of did subconsciously and not purposely, and so we apologize for that, and we'll do our best going forward to try not to do that. If we do that, we're sorry, we'll slip up, but we'll try to be better. Absolutely. In terms of doing that.
Definitely. Yep.
So for this week, let's start off with Wraith. Wraith, on the website, on Respawn's website, she's classified as an interdimensional skirmisher. Her quick description: Wraith is a whirlwind fighter, able to execute swift and deadly attacks and manipulate space-time by opening rifts in the fabric of reality, but she has no idea how she got that way. Years ago, she woke up in an IMC detention facility for the mentally ill with no memory of her life before. She also began hearing a distant voice whispering in her mind that would keep her awake for days on end. Despite nearly driving her insane, once she started to listen and trust it, the voice helped her harness her newfound power of void manipulation and escape the facility. So her real name is Redacted, which is interesting because I think for the other characters, like Bloodhound, their name was, I think, unknown.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
So for Wraith, it's Redacted. Wraith's age is Redacted, homeworld Redacted. Tactical ability, Into the Void, which is when you press L1, she essentially disappears, kind of like, similar to Reaper in Overwatch, but different, because like Reaper just goes invincible. Wraith actually turns into like a streak where Wraith kind of goes slightly invisible, but you can kind of still see where she's going if you're paying attention.
Yeah.
But you can also not shoot her during that time. And so that gives her like a quick invincibility period. Her passive ability is Voices from the Void, which essentially allows her to hear voices, which was an ability that like
early on, a lot of people didn't know what it did.
Yeah, early on, because I used Wraith all the time. Like Wraith was my main, and people would be asking me like, okay, so what's Wraith's passive ability? And I'd be like, dude, I have no idea. And I didn't realize what her passive ability was until I started using other characters and realizing that other characters didn't necessarily talk to themselves.
Yeah.
the way that appeared that Wraith talked to herself. So Wraith essentially hears voices, and you get an icon the down D-pad if you're playing on PlayStation that says warn your teammates, and you can warn your teammates when people are aiming at you or people see you. It saved my butt one time when I was playing with Brianna. We were like running toward the circle, and that icon popped up, and immediately I was like, guys, people see us, and we like dipped into a house. We still lost, but it was like a good, it saved me in that second. And so that was great. And then
Wraith is like straight out of X-Men, by the way. I just want to say, like,
oh, yeah, for sure.
Everything about her bio, I'm just like, X-Men.
I mean, she's also straight out of Overwatch because her ultimate ability is Dimensional Rift, which is essentially Symmetra's portal from Overwatch. So she has like two very Overwatch-ish abilities, but I really enjoy using her. I haven't used her in a minute just because Lifeline is giving me the health stuff, which is great for survivability. But in combat situations, Wraith is really useful.
Yeah. I've noticed a lot of PC players using Wraith for whatever reason. A lot of the people that I played with who were first using Wraith, like week one, because like on the surface, she's like super cool. And like she had, I mean, she's cool regardless, but week one, everyone saw the Rift. Everyone saw like, her ability to safety go into the void essentially. But I think as the weeks have gone on, some more versatility has come out in other heroes that are making them more viable picks for the squad. And so Wraith isn't getting as much love, it seems like, although still a really cool character. And I think like as the meta changes, we'll see more Wraith plays.
Like for me, I know that I gravitated to Wraith immediately because of like her style. And I was like, oh, cool. It's like a dark character.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then like the more I played her, in fact, even separated now, like having not played her for a while, like I feel like Wraith is very much like an advanced character to use. It's something I didn't realize when I was originally using her, because I was just like, oh yeah, the Into the Void ability is really useful to getting out of bad situations. But between like the her passive ability, the voices, and the portal ability, which like I still haven't figured out how to use that in a useful way. I don't know if you guys have any tips for how to use her ultimate, the Dimensional Rift.
Lately, when I've been playing with the Wraith, it's just been having that as like a getaway, and like if we're under fire and we need a second to like compose ourselves, jump into the Rift, teleport around the corner, and like aim at the portal, because people usually follow you through the portal, and then that can be like an advantage for you.
Two things I saw those people do with the portal is if you put the portal on a door or open in a door and somebody goes through it and the door is closed, they'll die. Yeah, I have to find it again. But basically, if you put the portal, the exit, either on the door or on the inside of the door, basically what happens is, I think it's right on the door and then you close it. What's going to happen is as soon as they come in, the enemy will die.
That's so awesome.
You can use it against the enemy. And the other way I've seen somebody use it was them, and this is a rare occasion, but the player and the enemy were running out of sight of the circle, trying to escape the circle. The person playing as the character dropped the portal. They ran past the enemy and then put the portal, the other end, in front of him. So what happened is he went back to the back of the circle.
Wow.
That's great. That's pretty good.
So that's a very specific scenario, obviously. Yeah. But I think if you can get crafty like that, you can find more specific scenarios that you can use it in.
And I think that's the thing. That's one of the reasons why Wraith seems to be an advanced character, is because like that ability, like the portal ability specifically, I feel like is for very specific situations, where like in Overwatch, when I'm playing Overwatch, I'm like, okay, obviously like you put the portal in the starting area and you put the portal by the goal or whatever the objective is, so you can get your team to the objective faster. Whereas in this game that doesn't have an objective like that, it's a lot more amorphous in terms of like, when do I use this thing? Because I've seen people use it for like, okay, my team's looting over here and we want to move to this next area next. Since I'm Wraith, I'll lead the way and go to that area, but I'll put a portal here and put a portal there so that travel is faster between the two areas for my team. I've seen that. I've seen Wraith just straight up use it for exploration. If they're like, okay, I think there's a team over in that town, I'm going to place a portal here. And then I'm going to go into that town, place a portal, so in case I run into people, I can use that portal to get back. And then we can use that in order to like infiltrate that town and get to jump on that team. I've seen that. I've seen portals used to like get teammates out of an area when there's a lot of combat going on and you're losing the situation, or if your teammates are down. I've been able to go into a portal in order to escape a situation. Granted, the enemy also went through that same portal and killed me, but I was at least able to survive for two more seconds.
That's awesome.
So yeah, Wraith is interesting. And yeah, I don't know. I like the character. I plan to go back to her at some point.
Yeah.
Like, and on more of like a consistent basis. I've definitely like just straight up abandoned her and I feel bad about it.
I like Wraith for the fact that like her Into the Void protects you from damage from the circle. So if you're in the circle, you can trigger your L1 and not take as much damage. Also, I think her finishing animations are really cool. I think some of my favorite in the game. So
she's like teleports for no reason.
Yeah.
And punches you.
Why not, right?
Wraith is dope.
Exactly.
Must be nice to see finisher animations, eh?
Right?
I'm saying.
Don't know the feeling too well. And every time I do it, it's just it's usually on a jump ship. I'm like, you know what? No one else is here. I'm gonna end you.
No, that's great. Let's talk about Bangalore. So Bangalore is classified as a professional soldier. Born into a military family where she, her parents, and her four older brothers all served in the IMC Armed Forces, Bangalore has been an exceptional soldier since she was young. She was top of her class at the IMC Military Academy and the only cadet who could take apart a peacekeeper, equip it with a precision choke hop-up, and put it back together in under 20 seconds blindfolded. That is an awesome description. I hadn't read that before. That's sick.
That's sweet.
Bangalore's real name is Anita Williams. She's 35. Her tactical ability is her smoke launcher. So people use that often to kind of get out of situations. Passive ability is double time where she gets shot and she runs twice as fast. Her ultimate ability is Rolling Thunder, which I'm actually, which one is Rolling Thunder? Is that like one of the mortar strikes?
Yeah, it's where everything starts dropping slowly across the landscape. And
oh yeah. Is it where it lands up and then explodes?
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Whereas Gibraltar, everything just, you pick a target and it all just kind of drops in that spot.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I always get those two mixed up since I've not used either of them.
Actually, speaking about Rolling Thunder, one of our listeners, Brian DeWolf, emailed us by emailing us at hello@okbeast.com, sent a whole list of tips for several characters. And I'll share some of those later on in the show, but he had some insight into Bangalore's Rolling Thunder. Apparently in game, these can be like really useful when the circle is really small, because the ability Rolling Thunder kind of spreads all of the missiles in like a circle. And so depending on like the circle configuration at the end of the game, I think Brian said that he had called down the Rolling Thunder and got 4 kills and won the game because there was nowhere to run from the missile because the circle was so small.
Dang.
Yeah.
4 kills. It's like, that's more than a squad, so that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, pretty dope.
Do any of us use Bangalore? Actually, Alex, you said you use Bangalore.
I do, right? I do.
You've been using Bangalore recently. How do you like using Bangalore?
Bangalore is my favorite character now, I think.
Really?
Yeah, her passive is insane. Double time, so when you're taking fire, it's not if you get hit, it's if you get shot at. You sprint way faster for a brief time, and that is crucial. That is like, it's insane how beneficial that is in a fight. I talked last week, I shared like an anecdote about, you know, having a Bangalore come up from behind in like no time and win the game and because of the double time ability. But I usually die if I'm not playing Bangalore. Like earlier today, I was in a scenario where I ran in guns blazing. I was like, I'm fine. Like if I get shot at, I run really fast. But I was playing Bloodhound on accident and didn't realize it. And so I like went in playing as Bangalore expecting for like my double time to kick in and just got totally pinned and like went down immediately. Like her double time is crucial for like not only close quarters, but like you can be that person who runs in for your team and like draws fire because it's harder to hit you. Right. So love Bangalore. Love that ability.
You can drop the smoke too. You know what I mean? Like yep. I've seen people drop the smoke, revive their party member, and then get the hell out of there.
Yeah, I've started dropping smoke on care packages when they land, so people have a harder time hitting you. If like
that's a good idea too,
if all eyes are on a random care package and you need whatever's inside of it, have your bank, because Bangalore can like drop her smoke from like a far distance. Also, like if we're in combat and my teammates like, you know, pretty far away and they're pinned down, I can like lob a smoke grenade over on them and give them some cover to get out. So it's not just like, it's not like you just drop it where you're standing. You can be really tactical with a smoke, and you know, visibility in this game is everything. Like this game definitely, like if you have no visibility and no line of sight, you're kind of screwed. Because that's kind of the play style that they have. Like we talked on the OKB's podcast a little bit last week, or this coming episode about how like the sand in the game in certain areas can block your view. That's and like how that really does play have an impact on gameplay. And Bangalore's smoke very much has a huge impact. So, yeah,
I really want to try out Bangalore. I made a mistake early on a couple weeks ago that because whenever I'd come across a Bangalore and they'd use their smoke, I'd be like, man, all right, that's really useful. I need that. And I always assumed it was caustic, since caustic is like the poison smoke guy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I went and bought caustic. I spent real money. I bought caustic and I started using them and I was like, wait, this isn't what I want. And I was so mad when I figured out it was Bangalore. Plus her passive seems really useful, like the 5 second or the five, or I don't know why I said five, the times two speed for your character. Is it 0.5 plus? Maybe something like that.
It feels like double time. Rightfully, like that's its namesake. So, but it feels very fast. Oh, yeah. I'm not sure the actual multiplier.
That seems pretty useful. Mm-hmm. Especially for me, where like whenever somebody gets to jump on me, I'm usually just like, my immediate response is to sprint and get out of there.
Yeah.
And so that seems helpful. But yeah, Bangalore seems dope. Let's talk about caustic.
Yes.
Caustic is categorized as a toxic trapper. Before there was caustic, a scientist named Alexander Knox worked at Humbert Labs. Let's call that. The frontier's leading manufacturer of pesticide gases, with a glut of pesticides needed to protect the growing frontier colony's crops, Humbert Labs was constantly on the hunt for better and stronger formulas. Knox was one of their brightest scientists and worked day and night developing new gases. But to make sure they worked, he needed to test them on more than just inert tissue. He needed something living.
Dang, interesting. That's dark.
So he's like a mad scientist. That is pretty dark.
Yeah.
He's loco.
So his real name is Alexander Knox. He's 48. His tactical ability is the Knox gas trap, which when I'm facing a caustic, I hate it so much.
Yeah.
Because legit, he just puts these bean bags everywhere. And if you get near it,
you get poisoned. It slows you down and it poisons you.
Yeah.
It also slows teammates down, by the way. So if you have.
It does. So you got to be careful with it.
Yeah, exactly.
I get all panicky when I run into that. Every time I've hit one, I start legit freaking out.
Yeah. No, I hit one, like in that clip I showed on Twitter, like I hit one and I immediately was like, oh shoot, oh no. I was completely flustered. His passive ability is Nox Vision, which I believe allows you to see people through your gas.
Yep.
Correct.
There you go. And his ultimate ability is the Nox Gas Grenade, which blankets a large area in Nox gas. So everything he does is gas related.
We've been playing with Rihanna, and also like all of his names, like all of his abilities are named after him, which is funny.
Yeah.
He's a
humble dude.
Yeah, what an ego. We were playing with Rihanna. She's been playing caustic a lot, and she's getting really good with caustic. And I'm tempted to try out caustic because I see some plays that she's done. And I'm like, dang, okay. Like, have you guys seen the play where people are inside of the bunker on the lower level and the caustic traps an entire enemy team inside of a room and then gasses them?
Yes,
so good.
It's a dark clip.
It is.
I saw that a few weeks ago, and I didn't know any of Caustic's ability at that time. So I said, who the hell is doing this? And yeah, you put it on one and put it on the other one, and you just saw all the guys in there. And the guy that was streaming, you heard him laughing diabolically at the enemy team.
Yeah. It's awesome because like it was a bunker area with like all the glass rooms.
Exactly.
So you can see it was one of those things where like he blocked both the doors with his with his Nox traps. And then like just gas the entire room, and you just see the team being like, yo, what do we do? And the whole room just like smoked up. It was hilarious.
Imagine the timing on that too. Like, how did you get there to the point where you were able to block both doors while all three members of the squad were inside the room before any of them got out, you know?
Yeah, that's why I'm now scared to go through that bunker, because like I've seen people pull some nasty plays in there where they either trap people or they get the jump on people. Like that bunker is serious for like different types of plays.
Yeah.
Where you can get to jump on people.
Saucy.
Yeah. Apparently you can shoot like the bottom of Caustic's traps in order to deflate them without letting out the poison.
What?
Do you guys know anything about that?
Really?
No, I've heard that. I've heard people say that. I haven't been able to try it yet because, funny enough, I don't run into a lot of games with them. But I have read that as well, that, you know, you can disarm them by shooting the bottom.
Yeah. Which is interesting, because I wouldn't have known that.
Me neither. I had no idea.
And I think it's probably useful for if you're playing Caustic and you want to disarm your trap for whatever reason. And so, pro tip, if that doesn't work, you didn't hear it from me.
That's awesome.
Let's talk about Mirage.
Dope.
And like before all these profiles I'm reading, there's a quote from each character. The one from Mirage is, I don't take myself too seriously. I don't take myself anywhere. I need to get out more. which is pretty much just sums up his old character. So He's categorized as a holographic trickster. Mirage is the kind of guy who likes to stand out. The youngest of four brothers, which actually explains a lot. He perfected the art of fooling around to get attention. The one thing he took seriously was a holopilot technology. Introduced to the illusion creating tech by his engineer mother, he pored over the mechanisms and learned all he could about them. Even when his brothers went MIA during the Frontier War, Mirage and his mother continued to develop holo devices, and the work brought them closer. It's pretty cool. His real name is Elliot Witt, which now I'm reading his real name. I kind of hate his last name being Witt. I'm just going to put it out there. I don't like this man's character. He's age 30. His home world is Solace. His tactical ability is Psych Out, which is where he sends a decoy of himself out to I guess, psych people out. Yeah. To confuse
For
people.
For whatever reason, I thought that an ability was called Bamboozle. Definitely not.
Because he says Bamboozle. He says it so many times. Have you heard the voice line where he like stumbles over trying to say Bamboozle?
Bamboozle.
Yeah, it's like confuse him. His passive ability is called Encore, where he automatically drops a decoy and cloaks for 5 seconds when he's knocked down, which has been useful for me. But now that I've recognized it, like I used decoy Mirage like a few times. And when I realized, like, when I learned his abilities, I've not been tricked since. Because I'm just like, all right, I know the deal. Like, as soon as I kill you, right?
Yeah, you called it in that clip. You're like, no, that's a decoy.
Yeah, this is a clip that didn't get shared, right? The end of me and John's match, where it's the two of us versus the squad, right? Like, I get one of our opponents down, and I'm like trying to get my health back, reload, do all the stuff to get ready for the other members of the squad. And I see a member run past me and I aim to shoot. And then I'm like, no, that's a decoy. Cause like, they're so identifiable because like they just run and then he stands there.
And he was running outside the circle too. He went outside.
Yeah. And he ran outside the circle. So I was like, no, that's not him. And I like dip behind. But then also like with the knockdown, right, where he cloaks himself, he does a certain animation where you get the notification that he's knocked down, but then like the cloak, it doesn't look knocked down. The cloak is doing like a dizzy dance of like, oh, you got me. And then you see like a silhouette, like a see-through silhouette of the actual knockdown character crawling away.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting, which hasn't fooled me again since I've learned about it. But I don't know. I like using Mirage for like when I'm playing, like you can kind of tell with new players, like they might not be familiar. And so like you can really get people pretty badly with Mirage if they're not familiar.
Also, I love that you can send out, like when you're dropping down from the sky, you can send a Mirage clone the opposite direction. Like you can, if you're jumping, you can send multiple Mirage clones and they also have like the jump animation and you can like fake teams out. Like it's pretty cool. Like if you if you see a team landing near you, throw a Mirage clone over there and it'll look like they think they're going to have teammates on them or whatever, or enemies on them. So.
Well, they'll be like, oh, there's 1,000 people here. We need to go.
Mm-hmm. This is a legend I want to unlock. I'm kind of just waiting to build up to that, but this is the guy I want to unlock.
Yeah.
Nice.
I think Mirage is a good first unlock.
Yeah. I kind of wish I unlocked him first because he is fun to use. Like, despite all my shit talking on him, he is like a fun character to use. And he can be useful, especially like if you are able to like get people with his tricks. Like, it then turns into a thing of like, if you get people, you get people bad. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. Anytime I've shot a decoy, I felt so open and I felt so like bamboozled.
it is almost
to the point where it's almost uncomfortable. His ultimate ability is Vanishing Act, where he deploys a team of decoys to distract enemies while you cloak, which is always scary. I've only seen that once and it was scary when it happened because I was like, oh no, I'm surrounded.
That one's a little harder to see through. Like that one kind of gets me still.
Yeah.
Because
like,
it's
like, you see people everywhere and it's like, oh no, like, at first you're like, oh no. Then you're like, okay, no, this is an ultimate. And then like by that time you've seen it, Mirage is gone.
Yeah.
Like it's disappeared somewhere.
That one is definitely like sensory overload.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Let's get into news and articles.
Yeah.
The biggest news to come out over the last week. There is a new gun that is dropped in King Canyon. Called the Havoc Energy Rifle. Guys, we talked a little bit about it already, but how have you been enjoying using the Havoc rifle?
So, yeah, I kind of talked about it. I really like the Select Fire receiver on it. I actually haven't seen it around that much on the map. I don't know if anybody else has. Yeah, I've seen it like once or twice. I have noticed a lot more energy ammo laying around. Like the loot table seems to have been shifted to accommodate this extra energy ammo rifle.
I like that they introduced this gun that takes two hop-ups, because I feel like it justifies those hop-ups more.
Yeah, it does.
Because at first I was like, why do these hop-ups only apply to one gun? Like the select fire only worked for the Prowler, and the other hop-up, the turbocharger, only worked for the Devotion. I was like, why are they, like, I now knowing that they were planning to introduce this gun makes that make a lot more sense. And I think it makes looting more exciting, as far as when you find a hop-up, because then it becomes a thing of like, okay, I can keep this if I think I'm going to find one of these two guns, rather than me being like, okay, well, I never use the Prowler, so I'm never going to pick this up.
Yeah.
Or I never use the Devotion, so I'm never going to pick this up. It gives more use for those.
Because like the precision choke applies to two. It applies to the Peacekeeper and the Triple Take. And so it was always weird like why those only had one. But yeah, like you said, it kind of makes sense now.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like I've been seeing it maybe like once or twice per match so far.
Yeah, I think people are still checking it out. Like, it definitely has its own like very unique sound or whatever. But so like it's interesting, because some of the guns like sound pretty similar, but like things like the Devotion and the Triple Take like all have a very distinct sound in the game. You can kind of identify what your opponents are using. I feel like this the Havoc energy rifle kind of falls within that as well. So it's funny because they're both energy rifle, they're all energy rifles, so maybe it's the ammo that has like a certain sound to it. But
oh yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
I'm glad they added another energy weapon specifically, because that it did seem lacking that class. So like if I like I'm not a sniper person in this game, and so the Triple Take wasn't for me, and then the Devotion I wasn't feeling that kickback, and so for them to add another one is nice, even though I feel like this gun also has some kickback that was kind of messing me up a little bit, but I might just need to get used to it. And that single shot fire looks sick.
Yeah, that's
in the trailer at least.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it in game, but
I used it. I was doing like 50 a shot with it. It definitely has like a delay to the kind of have to warm up and fire. So like the fire rate is a little weird. And I have to get used to that, because like I think you were mentioning earlier, like a one-on-one you had it, but you weren't doing, you had the full auto mode. I could even see like a one-on-one with like the, it doesn't seem like the gun you want in your hand for like a one-on-one. It seems like something you want to harass people with at long distances as you're like as your team pushes. That happened to me earlier today. Somebody just kept nailing me with it. They're a really good shot. And so it did pretty good damage. And so, and they were hitting frequent enough that it kind of pinned me down for a second and their team pushed us. So that seems like a good strategy for that gun. That especially. Makes sense. Yeah.
Next piece of news, Apex Legends, there's been a new patch.
Yeah.
Dropped February 19th. And they're calling it a preseason patch, which is interesting. I kind of like that. But this is the second patch of the preseason, and they detailed it on Reddit, them being Respawn. I'll read it real quick. It's pretty short. They say patch is live on all platforms. Here's the notes. Firstly, they fixed the PS4 crash issues, which thank God, because I don't know how many times the game crashed for you guys. But for me, whenever the game would, I had the game crash like maybe like three times, and it all had to do with accessing a menu or like doing a specific action.
Yep.
And so I would press, I think there was one time at the end of a game where like somebody asked me for ammo or something, and I pressed options so I can go to my menu and drop some. And as soon as I pressed options, I could see the game like try to load it and then immediately freeze and then shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And the crashes are so bad that like I can't even like it'll freeze, and then I'll try to turn my PS4 off, and then I can't turn it off with the button, and I can't press the home button, and like the game like freezes the entire PS4, and then eventually it'll shut down, like the game will shut down, it'll go to the error screen.
It takes like 10 minutes sometimes.
Yeah, it takes a while. Or I'll just turn off my PS4 like by holding the button. And so I'm glad they fixed that. I hope it's fixed. Because I've seen it be worse for a lot of people.
Yeah, for sure.
Like three times isn't that bad. But for some people, I've seen it like I've heard about it crashing like every other match, which is not fun at all. And so I hope that
sounds awful
for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds horrible. They also fixed a crash issue when pressing button early in the load process, which I'm not sure exactly what that means. They fixed an issue where players would sometimes move slowly after a revive, which was one that I think was went a little bit viral.
Mm-hmm. I think me a few times.
I think Ninja might have shared a clip of him of that happening to him.
That never happened to me.
Yeah, I hadn't had that happen to me either. They fixed an issue with Mirage's ability that was causing crashes, and then they fixed an issue with Gibraltar's Epic skins on Xbox One that was causing crashes.
There's been a lot of issues with the Xbox One's store in particular, which is interesting. There's been a lot of crashes associated with skins from the Xbox store, as well as like people not getting access to the things that they purchased on the Xbox One store. So it's interesting why the Xbox One is having these specific issues related to like unlocks and stuff like that, and skins in particular.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Alex, can I throw this next one to you?
Sure.
This one is about the Mozambique, and it's kind of a fun tidbit about what Respawn kind of has to say to players who might have qualms with the Mozambique.
Yeah, so this is written by Gita Jackson over at Kotaku, who's an incredible writer. But Gita kind of interviewed the team, I guess, and so they're talking about the Mozambique particularly, which is right now a gun that is hated by many and it's become a meme. But essentially, like what she wrote about was like, if you're hoping for a buff, that Respawn has disappointment in store for you, because but they did like include a tip on how to use it. So I'm trying to find who she actually interviewed and I can't find it. But somebody on the Respawn team essentially said like the current plan is to just keep enjoying the memes. So
yeah, Sean Slayback is
Sean Slayback. Thank you, Sean Slayback. Yeah. So Sean said the current plan is just to keep enjoying the memes, but Slayback did add a tip for using the gun. So apparently the Mozambique is a slang term for an execution. I found that out this week. Sean said, quote, remember that when aiming down sights, the chokes the spread down, which makes it easier to hit that pattern. Two to the chest, one to the head. So next time you got a Mozambique in your hand, try two to the chest, one to the head.
There you go. And it makes that triangle pattern. So like try to aim that, I don't know, right at their neck maybe.
Yeah, I guess. I haven't had too many issues with the Mozambique actually. Like I feel like the gun is definitely become a meme, but when you're in a pinch, I mean, like just hit your shots.
There's a clip of you going John Wick with a Mozambique.
Yeah. I think we talked about that last week a bit. Like I love that clip, but specifically like I think the Mozambique I think it's useful in certain scenarios. Like I don't mind picking it up now. I think I've kind of gotten used to it, but it does take a lot of getting used to. But yeah, two to the chest, one to the head. Try it out. I haven't tried it out, so I don't know. But I will try it out this week.
Let's try it tonight.
Man, let's try it tonight. I'm down to jump on and pick up Mozambique's only. Let's freaking go. So there are a couple of rumors floating around, and these are, I don't want to say unsubstantiated because I actually haven't like looked too deep enough into these, but I believe John Bernardo has. And so, John, can you take me through some of these rumors that are floating around about Apex?
Yeah, so these rumors are coming from the most recent patch. Basically, when the patch came out, these good old data miners started digging into the code to find out if there's anything in there that we might not know about the future. So the first one I want to point out is something that they found about the revealing Titans while running in new gameplay modes. This is according to a report from @RealApexLeaks. They said that the new code reveals the existence of two new modes called Jump Kit and Wall Run. There's also a mode that references the word Titan several times. According to the Twitter account, these modes are definitely test modes for devs, most noticeably because they currently only have a max player count of one. The mode is currently called Classic, which means there may be a gameplay variation that allows competitors to play a closer mix between Titanfall and the Battle Royale genre. So this is interesting because, you know, we kept thinking that Titans will be coming. Wall running is obviously a big part of Titanfall 2. But the part that kind of I questioned a bit is that I'm pretty sure Respawn said that they tried wall running in the game and it just didn't work. So if it just didn't work before, how is it going to work for, you know, a passive ability now?
Yeah,
there's not really a lot of spots that they can run. You know, it's a pretty open map.
Yeah, right? That's my thing. Is like the map doesn't look like it's designed at all for wall running.
Yeah.
So treat this as a rumor. I wouldn't even call it a leak.
It could be that they implemented that at one point in the development, and then they nixed it, but they didn't necessarily remove it from all the code. You know, that's I imagine like you can. I know that you can kind of like disable certain lines of code and while programming, and so they might have just, you know, kept it in there but just disabled it, or I don't know. I feel like there's probably just remnants. Same thing with Titans. I feel like Titans could be a number of things. Like if people have noticed the when you call down a care package or when one lands, it's like the same like atmosphere entry animation as a Titan is. And so I could see it being something like, you know, am I making sense? Like the like when it falls down out of the sky, that's exactly what the Titans looked like. Like maybe there's some sort of animation or asset that they used referencing like old, you know, they could have borrowed something from Titanfall 2 in regards to Titans. I really don't think we're going to see a Titans in this game. I really don't.
And I just really want to bring this to everyone's attention just so everyone knew about it. I personally don't think either of these things are coming to fruition. I think the next piece that I'm going to bring up is more likely. But yeah, Titans wall running, the game doesn't, it does live in the Titanfall universe, but we don't need what Titanfall 2 had. Because I feel like Apex has already done a great job on standing on its own 2 feet within the Titanfall universe without leaning on mechs and wall running and anything else that Titanfall 2 may have thrown at us.
Yeah.
I agree with that, John. I also think that, like, I'm kind of with you guys that this seems to be either leftover code from Titanfall 2 or, like, them trying something out in the development process but maybe throwing it out because it wasn't fitting. But yeah, I don't necessarily see, at least soon, I don't necessarily see Titans being implemented. Maybe
not this
new map.
Yeah, I was gonna say not this map.
Like
it could be map specific. That's a good idea. Or mode specific. Like maybe
it could be like a thing we see in a future season.
Maybe they even maybe the wind condition changes. Like in when you play like Heroes of the Storm, the wind condition changes based on the map, or one of the wind conditions rather. And maybe there's something to do with the Titan. I don't see a ton of Titans running around. And I don't see one character having a Titan and nobody else either. Like unless it was like we talked about last week, like our ideas for like a hero, if they had like Titan kind of armor that they could like.
God, I saw such a dope mock-up and I shared it with you guys of like, essentially it was the character select screen and one of the characters was, or they had a new character and it was Cooper from Titanfall 2. And like his like L1 was wall running. His passive was, I forget what his passive was. And like his ultimate was, I think his ultimate was like, double
time and regain health. It was like adrenaline.
Yeah,
boost.
Something like that. And I was like, man, that'd be perfect. Except you change his ultimate for like to instead of that, it'd be a Titan, and he calls out a Titan. That's like a dream. That's very much a dream scenario that I don't think has any chance of happening. But that would be like a get hype moment.
Yeah,
if you pulled that off,
maybe like a limited
event.
I'd be
so hyped.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, even like that could be like what Thanos did with, or what Fortnite did with Thanos, where they had Thanos in there for a minute, like. Add a Titan in there, you know, just for like an event kind of thing. Make it a separate mode where, like, I don't know, like a team or a squad can get access to a Titan, or like one person can get access to a Titan during a match.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That'd be dope.
I'm down for the limited time modes. Like, experiment all you want in those.
Exactly.
Yeah, change it up so that way you feel fresh. I mean, the game still feels fresh only on one map, only on one mode. So no rush. Don't throw all your eggs in one basket. But you know, limited events are always cool.
Yeah, totally agree.
So another rumor leak has to do with something called quote unquote recruit mode, which essentially is like a solo, like you would enter the match solo. And when you down somebody, you would, I think you would revive them and then they will become part of your squad or something like that. So you would recruit players to your squad as you're downing them.
Well, you don't have to down them. It's basically, you know, you recruit new players by just reviving in general. So it doesn't have to necessarily be something that you downed, right? It could be anybody.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It didn't have to be someone that you downed. But, and I think, sorry, I didn't mean to hijack you, but I think.
Oh, no, that's good.
What they're kind of speculating is that you might be able to enter this mode solo. And maybe it's not that you're just. Maybe it's not that you're just reviving people. It's just you're recruiting people at this, instead of reviving them.
So interesting.
Yeah.
So that seems interesting. That's another one where I'm like, it definitely sounds more likely than the Titans in a wall running.
Yeah. Yeah, this one is the one that excites me because this sounds like an interesting mode, something that you don't really see in any other battle royale game. And I'm all down for having anything that's going to separate all these games apart from each other.
Yeah. This like the Titans of wall running sounds like something that like I could have made up as somebody who liked Titanfall or like anybody who was like, oh yeah, these guys made Titanfall. They could put this in Apex. This specifically sounds like something where I'm like, I don't know why somebody would make this up.
Yeah.
Whether or not this is going to happen, we'll see. Like once again, it could be test code, could be something that they tried out, realized wasn't fun or didn't work out. But yeah, that stuff that was apparently in the code. And we'll see if that appears again in the future. Lastly, for news and articles, I believe there's a cool thing happening with Twitch Prime and a Pathfinder skin.
Yeah. So if you go to Twitch Prime, you get 5 Apex packs in a Pathfinder skin. And I was stoked for this. And so I went and redeemed it. And I freaking redeemed it to the wrong EA account.
No.
I did it to my did it to my PC account, which I don't play as nearly as often as my PS4 account.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
And so that was a bummer.
Get another Twitch Prime account then.
Yeah, I was going to say, right? Gotta subscribe again to Amazon
Free
Prime.
Free trial, man.
If you're listening and you don't want it, DM me.
There you go. Before we get into questions, Alex, did you have any tips I forgot to ask you at the beginning of the episode?
Actually, so we had, I mentioned some that Brian wrote in. Trevor Scott mentioned, I think this is covered in the tutorial, but people still have missed it. If you hold triangle or Y, you can put away your gun and run faster. FYI, if you're listening, you hadn't realized that. I know I played with people who had gone through the tutorial like yesterday and they didn't know that. So for some reason that hasn't necessarily permeated people's brains, but Brian DeWolf had actually a strategy I used this week. So thank you, Brian, for emailing so many. So when you're playing Lifeline, as an FYI, the dock out heals the damage done by the ring, and you can get up to like a full health even while outside of the ring. So that's from Brian. And so if you're in a, he says, if you're in a crazy firefight while the ring is closing around, you can basically stall out the other team and heal/shield up despite taking ring damage while they run away. So that's kind of really cool, especially for, I know, Bless, you're like a Lifeline main right now.
Yeah, take notes, Bless.
But that seems kind of dope. So also just keep in mind, like with Lifeline, you can heal yourself, so you can maybe get away with, you know, lending more inventory space to things like grenades and stuff instead of health items, since you can heal yourself. Yep. So
I tend not to pick up syringes.
Yeah, that's as often. I don't know how you do that, because literally my entire bag is like syringes and like shield cells and shield batteries and like two grenades.
Yeah, legit. I pick up shield cells and shield batteries since I can't, since Lifeline doesn't heal those. But like, I only pick up med kits really if I see those, since those are pretty useful even if you're Lifeline, mm-hmm. because like you can heal. Lifeline essentially heals faster, along with like being able to use your help on all that stuff. And so being able to use a med kit like super fast is super useful.
Yeah.
In combat situations.
And also,
especially
on top of the doc robot healing better than healing more than the circle damages you. Brian says he says, I am super paranoid about giving away my location, so I always pop my care packages outside of the ring and just reheal with doc if I need to. So,
ooh, nice.
Yeah. Keep that in mind.
Good tips. Yeah, see, and I like that tip, because like, I don't know, it's always weird when you're playing with people and you're like, you have almost a risky idea like that, where it's like, hey, let's drop it outside the circle, and everybody's like,
what?
what are you talking about? But that's a good idea. That's one I wouldn't even have thought of, because I feel like most people are just like, yeah, let's get to the circle first and then drop this care package.
Yeah, I even started running into the circle more like in big fights, because people, like once you get out there, people are like, oh no, they're out of bounds, like I can't shoot them. Even though you can just shoot right through the circle, but yeah,
you got to experiment with the circle.
yeah, you definitely have to experiment with the circle.
Get right in there.
One, I don't know if this is a tip or if this is like a cheat. Actually, no, it's not a cheat, but it's a cool fact that like with Gibraltar, if you have a Lifeline on your team, if you bust out the Lifeline drone, Gibraltar can put his shield orb, like the thing that deploys it, on the Lifeline drone, and you can use that to kind of move the bubble around. I don't know if that's the thing they patched out yet, because that seems like a thing they might patch out.
I don't know if they would, like it's tied to the physics engine, I feel like. I don't know.
It's such an interesting thing.
I don't know how useful it is in like real scenarios though.
That's also the thing, is like, I don't know, like if you want to maybe peek over somewhere,
if you dropped it like 5 inches too far, like scoot the drone, because they were like literally like bumping into the drone to move it, and I was like, that seems like not that useful.
I've done that with my health drone before, where really? Like I'll drop my drone, I'll be like healing over here, nobody hears me, and I'm like, I guess I'll just push this thing to you guys. Because it's very easy to push, you just like walk it over.
Okay.
I wish there was a dude, it'd be awesome, Respawn, if you're listening, put a button so that like I can press square on my drone and pick it up and move it and drop it again. That'd be super cool and super easy. I don't know if they would. I don't know.
Or even just set like a waypoint system with your drone. Like,
oh
use
yeah,
it with the ping Mark system. Here, use the ping system some there. Way.
And have like, you guys tried pinging your drone?
No.
No, dude. If that was in there, I would be so mad. I've had it for this long. I mean, they do have everything in there. So, man, maybe they do.
Finger droid, drone.
Sweet. Is that all for tips?
I think so. This week.
Awesome. Let's get into questions. Of course, you can tweet at us at OKBeast now, or write in hello at OKBeast if you want to ask us a question. First question comes from Jared YG. He says, as the roster expands, do you think Caustic and others like him may make up a new trapper class? I get why he's defensive for now, but I do think a separate class once the roster expands may provide better clarity.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
I could see that. Like, I very clearly understand why Caustic is defensive right now. Mm-hmm. But I think Trapper is like Overwatch is the very, as far as classes go, and the classes they use in this game is very clear analog to this. And Overwatch is like four classes, I think. And they kind of work well, not only I imagine for like dev, because I imagine to fit into a class, they have to fulfill a certain role, and that might make it easier to create new heroes, but or it might be limiting, but I feel like sometimes limitations are better. Anyways, I think it, just for the player, jumping into your first game, what do you expect? What do you like? Why is Caustic defensive? Like, that doesn't really make sense. Trapper is very clear, and I think would kind of clearly communicate that to new players. Mm-hmm. Maybe allow them to pick up the playstyle more quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can understand why Caustic is defensive, because like the aim for Caustic is to like hold down a position and like defend a point against the enemy, even though like there aren't really points in this game like there aren't in Overwatch. But I could definitely see a Trapper class also if there are more characters like him. My question is more so like, why is Bloodhound? I don't know what their class is.
Yeah,
like you see the icon that's mm-hmm. by Bloodhound's name.
Yeah, it's like a radar.
And it's like a circle icon.
Yeah, it's maybe it's a hunter.
Maybe, but I don't know why that wouldn't just be attack, or like why that, like, because I feel like Bloodhound's abilities are all aimed toward like finding an enemy, tracking them, or I guess yeah, tracking them down. But also like, I don't know, in a combat situation, using Bloodhound's ultimate is really good for like taking people down.
Yeah,
it all seems offense oriented to me.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. I don't have an answer, Jared. I don't have a good answer. I agree with you.
We failed you.
Rihanna asks, what quality of life features would you like to see added to the game?
We kind of mentioned one a few minutes ago with the dock drone. I would actually really love to be able to direct that on where to go. I think that would really make, because like I'm not asking like for the dock to like follow me into battle necessarily, but to have the drone, like if your teammate is like 5 feet away and they're putting on a shield or they're putting on shields, like just waypoint it and have it drift over slightly so they can get healed. Also, it's a little finicky right now. Like you have to be standing right on top of it, and if you move at all, you stop getting healed. Like that's a little finicky. I would like to see that have some quality of life improvements.
I would very much like to see better stat tracking.
Yeah,
that is something that Rihanna would like too.
You took that right out of my mouth.
For those listening, like Rihanna essentially like keeps a document,
a spreadsheet,
and tracks down her own. She keeps a spreadsheet and she tracks her own stats, like her kills, her wins with full squad, and all this stuff. I would very much like to see Respawn implement a better stat tracking thing, because like I don't understand why not. Like they obviously have the info there. They have they have the tools they need. Like just put it on like another screen that people can see it clearly from, and it's like an aggregated thing as opposed to character specific. Like I don't need to show it off. You know, I just want to know for myself, and also like a way to track all your wins as opposed to just wins with full squad.
Yes, please.
Because yeah, I just want to know how many times I've seen that champion screen.
Give me death count. Brag. Give me total wins.
Yep,
and I'm good. Give me a way to, so I don't have to go in every character and add them all up. Let me just see an account wide stat menu.
Man, somebody tag Vince Zampella on this podcast. Let him know. If you need to clip out this portion of the podcast and tweet it to Vince Zampella on twitter.com and Respawn in the same tweet, you can tag them both. If you need to do that,
at play apex,
you know, do what you got to do. Just let them know we need better stat tracking. Please, guys, please.
Hopefully that'll be introduced alongside the battle pass.
Ooh, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
I'm thinking my quality of life stuff would be with the battle pass as well. I just want, because, you know, the game is basically you win and go for another match. So anything to just keep pushing you along, just like Fortnite has challenges. So something like that. Something that I would pull out of, and this has nothing to do with Battle Royale, but when you play a game like Hearthstone, you know, you win a match, you get, you know, gold, or you win three matches, you get a pack of cards. So maybe they can give you the way you earn loot boxes, maybe it can be a little bit more friendly. You know, it's not bad right now, just a little bit more welcoming. So you're earning more. And then I feel like in the benefit of the company, as if you're earning more and you get addicted to that, then you'll probably want to buy more. I don't feel like I'm definitely not getting enough out of my loot boxes when I get them. So I think just increasing what you get in there and increasing the chances of getting more loot boxes when you get wins.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. Sweet. We have more questions from Rihanna and Dr. Bad Llama, but unfortunately we ran out of time this week, but we'll get to those next episode. Of course, thank you guys so much for listening. You can find me on Twitter at Blessing Jr. You can find John on Twitter at John S. Bernardo, and you can find Alex Van Aken on Twitter at It's Van Aken. Remember to review and subscribe to us on iTunes or your podcast service of choice. Support us on Patreon, patreon.com/OKBeast. And of course, remember to check out the rest of our podcast on OKBeast.com, including the OK Beast podcast, which comes out every single Monday. And let me tell you, man, the one that's coming out on Monday.
So good.
Well, I think one of our best episodes. Yeah, it was a great episode.
Hot.
It was hot. And so check out the OK Beast podcast if you want shenanigans. We get goofy on there. We get introspective on there. Brandon says Brandon things on there. It's great. There's a thing about there's things about babies and googles and gagas and mummies and daddies. Check all that stuff out.
It's funny.
Until next week, thank you so much for listening. We'll see you guys later.
Bye. Stay legendary.
Keep it spicy.
This is my